Samuel Taylor Coleridge, Life and Works. Samuel Taylor Coleridge was born in Devonshire in 1772. At the age of 10, he was sent first to Christ Hospital School in London and then to Cambridge, where he never graduated. He was heavily influenced by French revolutionary ideals, which made him an enthusiastic republican. After the disillusionment with the French Revolution, he and the poet Robert Southey, a follower of radicalism, planned to establish a utopian community in Pennsylvania under the name of Pentisocracy, where every economic activity was done in common and private ownership did not exist, in order to provide labor and peace and create the best possible environment for everyone. This project came to nothing in the end. As he suffered from chronic rheumatism, doctors prescribed opium to ease bodily pains, but he developed a growing addiction to this drug. In 1797, he met the poet William Wordsworth and settled in Somerset, where an important collaboration, which proved to be crucial for Coleridge's creative output, started. Most of his best poetry belongs to these years. The Rime of the Ancient Mariner is masterpiece, written in 1798. It is the first poem of the collection Lyrical Ballads. Christabel and Cluachan, unfinished. In 1799, he joined Wordsworth and his sister in the Lake District. He then spent a period of solitude in Malta between 1804 and 1806, after which he returned to England and began a career in lecturing on literary concerns and in journalism, even though his addiction to opium continued to plague him. The lectures he gave on Shakespeare between 1808 and 1818 laid the foundation of Shakespearean criticism. Finally, he settled in London, where he produced Biographia Literaria, a classic test of literary criticism and autobiography. Here, he explained the dual task which he and Wordsworth had set themselves in the Lyrical Ballads. He died in 1830. Importance of imagination. Like Blake and Wordsworth, Coleridge stressed the role of imagination, and his critical essays did much to assert the idea of this faculty as the sovereign creative power. He considered two kinds of imagination: primary imagination, connected with the human perceptions and the individual power to produce images, was the ability to perceive the elements of the world, giving chaos a certain order and the material of perception a certain shape. Everybody has primary imagination, but used it unconsciously. Secondary imagination was voluntary and used consciously. It dissolves, diffuses, dissipates in order to recreate. Not only did men perceive the world around them, but they also had the faculty to use the data of reality to build new worlds. However, every human being could recreate reality in a different way. In fact, the world of art was impersonal, original, and unique. While men previously thought that art had simply to reproduce reality, art as mimesis, an imitation of nature, now artists had to recreate it. Consciously will and recreate were the two key words for the artist who were able to create something original and personal. The power of fancy. According to Coleridge, fancy was the mechanical ability the poet had to use devices like metaphors and alliterations in poetry in order to express his ideas. Fancy was the way in which he could communicate his ideas and visions to everybody. A practical example is offered by what Coleridge does in The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, using several details that had impressed him during his readings, and then he shaped into something else. When he described the water snakes, he remembered and adapted Captain James Cook's descriptions. To the elements of fancy, Coleridge added the power of associating them into a new, striking unity. Thus, fancy enabled the poet to blend various ingredients into beautiful images. In using the secondary imagination, Coleridge believed the poet was free to rise above the 18th century conventions and the date of experience in order to create something in the true sense of the word and then awaken the mind from the lethargy of custom. Importance of nature. Like Wordsworth, Coleridge did not view nature as a moral guide or a source of consolation and happiness. His contemplation of nature was always accompanied by awareness of the presence of the ideal in the real. His strong Christian faith, however, did not allow him to identify nature with the divine, in that form of pantheism which Wordsworth adopted. He rather saw nature and the material world in a sort of Neoplatonic interpretation as the reflection of the perfect world of ideas. In other words, the material world is nothing but the projection of the real world of ideas on the flux of time. Thus, Coleridge believed that natural images carried abstract meanings, and he used them in his most visionary poems. The language. An interest in the exotic and in the medieval period, both characteristic features of Romanticism, are also evident in some of Coleridge's poetry. Coleridge used archaic language connected to the old ballads, rich in alliteration, repetition, and onomatopoeias.